Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. WBUR senior arts and culture reporter Amelia Mason, welcome
Hello.
Back.
Thank you for having me.
More music for the people.
Yep, that's what I'm here to bring.
Yes, yes, yes. So Amelia, I brushed up on my Taylor Swift. I went back, listened to some albums, one in particular, 1989. It's
okay.
A very, very good pop album. I really enjoyed that album.
Is that your favorite?
I believe so.
All
I
right.
believe so. It cool. goes. It goes. And I did that because today we're talking about Taylor Swift, because you went to Berklee College of Music, where there's a course about her being
yes.
taught. Take us into that classroom.
Yeah, it was really fun, I gotta say. This is one of those stories as a reporter where you're just like, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this. It's Berklee, so obviously it's a music school, so this is a class about songwriting, and it's using Taylor Swift's music as a lens to learn about that. There are small classes. I think, you know, there were probably a dozen students in this, like, tiny little seminar-sized classroom. The instructor, Scarlett Keys. Scarlett Keys does this. She goes album by album. So, like, they'll spend a whole class on one album, and she'll talk about the songs and the music, and then she'll play the whole song for everyone to listen to. And it's amazing. They immediately just start singing along. I think first and foremost, the focus in this class would be on lyrics, and then second to that, melody. So, you know, Taylor Swift isn't necessarily doing any super complex harmonic stuff. It's not like Stevie Wonder. But she writes beautiful, beautiful melodies and hooks. And then she also is an incredible storyteller and writer, which I think comes, I mean, my personal sort of theory about that is it comes a bit from her country background. She also makes them write songs in class. So when I was there, they'd been listening to the song I Knew You Were Trouble. And the professor, Scarlett Keys, pointed out that that song has a very simple rhythm in the verses and then a big melodic leap that creates a very memorable earworm. So she split the students up into groups and said, go write a chorus using those two things, a simple rhythm, a big melodic leap. And she gave them like 20 minutes, and they came back, and then they performed the songs for each other, and they were really good.
I can't look away. Baby, you got me going so insane. The way you want me to say.
I find that to be very good and very scary at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, it's very effective as a song. It's memorable. It was stuck in my head for days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's credit to the students. They obviously are studying songwriting. But I think also, like, when you're a professor, it's really useful to be talking about an artist or a figure or work that the students are, like, already really interested in.
Mm-hmm.
When I was talking to the Berklee professor, Scarlett Keys, she talked about how, in a lot of ways, this class is sort of a respite for her students who are very stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
I see this room of students that oftentimes they have like a look on their face of exhaustion because they're overscheduled, they're over everything, and there's a lot of anxiety nowadays. And so when they're in this class singing all the songs for 2 hours, they leave feeling so good and so happy. And they have very deceptively learned so much about songwriting.
Just to start with that, you know, it's a way in. Their professor correctly identified things in this Taylor Swift song that you can take away and use and see them work.
Right,
like
right.
In real time.
Pulling it apart, deconstructing it. Amelia, we're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, I want to take a deeper look at the academic value of Taylor Swift. All right, so we'll be right back.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmanning, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with WBUR senior arts and culture reporter Amelia Mason. So, Amelia, we are talking about Taylor Swift because you visited a class at Berklee College of Music where her music is being taught. And I understand that Berklee is not the only place teaching Taylor, right?
Right. I spoke to a professor at Harvard University who teaches a Taylor Swift class in the English department. So sort of looking at her work from a kind of literary perspective.
Okay. And what does that look like?
Well, in this case, what the professor does is she pairs like Taylor Swift songs and albums with different novels, poems, you know, other pieces of culture. And it's a way of kind of teaching students the thing that we all learned as English majors, which was how to take a text and look at it and understand it and pick it apart and to learn those analytical tools. Stephanie Burt, the professor, had a nice way of putting it.
I would like them to get a toolkit that they can then take away and use on the rest of life. Things they like, things they don't like, popular things, unpopular things, which is also a toolkit for critique.
So I guess that speaks to the importance of just studying pop music in general.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of good reasons to do that. Like I said earlier, you know, it's a way in.
Yeah.
It's something that students are already interested in, but it's also like a huge part of our world, our culture. I think being a fan is one thing, but then learning to actually sort of understand what you love and actually recognizing its flaws.
Yeah.
You know, when I spoke to Stephanie Burt, she loves Taylor Swift, but she would not be above, you know, critiquing Taylor Swift's songs or work or anything. And I think her students don't have to come to it with sort of like this uncritical adoration. They
right.
can learn to see flaws in any piece of culture and hopefully like not have that ruin it for them, you know,
right.
hopefully have them sort of like deepen their relationship with it.
Right, right. That's important, right? There's a difference between blind fandom and actually knowing what you like and why you like it.
Why you like it and why maybe an artist who you love put something out that you don't like.
Yeah.
Like what ways
being
they sort of...
Being able to explain that.
And I mean, the question of pop culture figures, I think, is also very interesting. It has always been for academics, like there was a phase where Madonna classes mm-hmm. were really huge when she was really huge. And mm-hmm. a lot of those classes sort of looked at her performance and how she presented herself and the messaging in that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just recently, not too long ago, a few years ago, there was some Beyonce classes.
Oh, I would
There's
hope
a
there
lot to pull apart.
I
there.
Would hope there are Beyonce classes. Yeah. There really should be, honestly. Yeah. Way more. Because yeah. I think there's a lot there. You know, I mean, if you're talking about Taylor Swift and sort of thinking about her as a public figure and her fandom and that relationship. Mm-hmm. And you can see her grappling with her own fame, actually, in her work, which is something that the professor, Stephanie Burt, pointed out to me.
It's about the contradiction between knowing everyone's watching you and wanting to be a role model, which she knows she is, and wanting to be a person.
There's a lot to say about fame nowadays. And yeah, that seems like Taylor Swift is a good lens to view that through.
I think we were talking about the song Anti-Hero. Sometimes I feel like everybody is a sexy baby, and I'm a monster on the hill.
Too big to hang out, slowly lurching toward your favorite city. Pierced through the heart. I don't understand the sexy baby line. What is that?
I think she's talking about the male gaze and how that sort of forms the way you present yourself. Okay, huh. If I were to do a close reading on that, I'd say it's working on a couple levels.
Yeah.
One is sort of this idea of being a woman and like being sexy, but also sort of non-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's sort of like the ideal. But she feels
sexy
sort of
baby.
Sexy baby. But Taylor Swift feels sort of grotesque. And yeah. that could be because she's tall, but I don't really know. But also because she's so much power.
Yeah.
And like that's not sexy because it's threatening to men.
Yeah. I'm lurching towards your city.
Yeah.
Changing your economy.
Like completely. But then also I think there's something else going on there about just sort of like taking out the sort of patriarchy side of it and just like the fact that she's famous. And when she... like that, what you're saying, like when she walks into a room, she has too much gravitational pull. Like she's big and she kind of can't hide. She can't just be regular.
So Amelia, having said all that, before we go, what's your favorite Taylor Swift song?
It is tough to pick a favorite, but the one I usually point to is Dear John from her album Speak Now. I mean, there are a lot of levels. We know it's about John Mayer.
It's a lot. I was doing some math while I was listening to this song.
Age
and
math.
I was like, yeah. Something ain't right here.
No, I mean, that's kind of what the song is about.
Yeah.
Is like grappling with the way that this guy, who she doesn't explicitly name, but like heavily hints yeah. is John Mayer, how their age difference meant he had a lot more power in the relationship. And also he was like treating her poorly.
Yeah.
And her kind of grappling with, you know, the feeling of like blame. She has that line, I should have known. There's that feeling of like, oh, I really should have known better, but also recognizing that the villain in the story is really this other person.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of complexity in the way she unpacks her own feelings about it, like recognizing in retrospect the way she sort of allowed herself to be treated this way and then taking back her power.
Yeah.
Like the song is a way of taking back her power, like very explicitly.
Right.
At the end, she's like, and then I wrote this song.
Right.
But yeah, one of my favorite things about it is also just the way it cheekily kind of winks at like, this is about John Mayer. So Dear John works on a few levels. And then the guitar part in it sounds like John Mayer and the way he plays guitar.
Yeah.
It's,
oh,
it's so good.
Okay. All
it's
right.
So good.
I like that. The layers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You see, I think what I'm finding too is because for a while I'm like, Taylor Swift, what's the deal? And then, you know, I'm talking to our producer, Franny, yesterday, and I'm realizing like, oh, I actually do like Taylor Swift. I like her older stuff though. And like, as I'm listening to, I was listening to Dear John this morning and I was like, this is actually very, very good. She cooked them.
I mean, it's a really well-constructed
song.
Like, from a songwriting perspective, that's why they're studying it at Berkeley, right? Like,
right.
When I was talking with Stephanie Burt, the Harvard professor, she had this a really great take, I think, on sort of Taylor Swift's message in her work about relationships with men.
One of the things that her work has been saying very consistently is if you are seeking the kind of love story she describes in the early song Love Story, which she said she's going to be performing as long as she's performing. If you want that kind of love affair, great, go for it. But also, look at the power dynamics and get in the car with that guy if you want, but don't give him the keys to your life.
Which I think is a good way of putting it. Like, there is this, like, romanticism about her early work, but she's so young, and she really is romanticizing relationships. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to examine and watch her evolve and recognize the complexities of, you know, relational dynamics, you know, with the person you're dating, and how, like, gender might affect that or not. Mm-hmm. I think that you could do a feminist reading of her work, certainly. You know, there's definitely a good semester end paper there.
Well, shout out to Taylor Swift, all the Swifties out there. This one's for you. And shout out to you, Amelia, for doing this story and taking the time to talk with us about it.
Happy
Man, this
to.
Was delightful.
It's very fun. I will happily talk about my favorite songs of any kind at any time.
Well, we gotta do it again. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. What artist would you teach a course on? Hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. And now it is that time for me to let you know that The Common is produced by Caitlin Harrop and Franny Monahan with help from CCU. It's mixed by Emily Jankowski, Matt Reed, and Paul Vitkus. And it's edited by Samatha Joshi and Ben Brock Johnson. And our theme music is Me from Hisu. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you soon.